Morning.
Morning.
Before we read God's word, I want to first and foremost say that my brother Tommy and my wife and I, we've been most humbled in having to come and worship with you all these last past this weekend. And it's been such a breath of fresh air. And so we are incredibly thankful. God is incredibly good to us. And this will not be the last time, right, Brother Preston? And we hope and pray that there's going to be more opportunities where we will come together and just love Jesus and be in his word and grow together as a Amen. Family. And so we will be thinking about you and praying for you. And please pray for us too as we go back home to Russellville. And we have a small little church in Paris as well too that we're trying to serve and love your Jesus as well too. So why don't we pray and we will get into it. Good Father, we come together this morning. And we want to acknowledge that you are good and you are holy and you reign and you are sovereign and you are glorious over our lives. And Father, this morning, if we woke up on the wrong side of the bed, if our eyes have not been fixated on you, if our minds are not aligned with you, my Father, help us, and may the Spirit steer our hearts and our affections, our perspective, our minds, so that we can keep ourselves focused onto you.
Yes.
And that is the prayer this morning as we engage into your word in Luke chapter 9. And for those of us in here that may not have given, have not have received Jesus as Savior, Lord, and has not turned from the life of evil and wickedness, that sin and death trespasses life, my prayer that you will call them forth and that they will receive you today, repent of their sins, and live their lives passionately in pursuit of you. For those of you that are in here that do not believe in Jesus, that's my prayer for you. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray all this. Amen. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. If you got your Bible, feel free to please open it up. It's kind of cooler to have a book. There's something about having a book, an actual book, because then you can leaf through the pages. You know what I'm saying? You know, I love that. That sounds cool. But if you got a digitalized book too in your cell phone, I guess that's cool too. I call it the fake Bible. But open up to Luke 9:23. And he said to all, Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, one, let him deny himself, and two, and take up his cross daily, and three, follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. I'm standing here in the midst of the crowd of you all, and I can't help but wonder, there's a good young crowd here. I haven't spoken and preached to a young crowd. I haven't even spoken and preached in all English for almost 2 years now. And so it's such a wonderful opportunity to be with y'all. But one thing I'm learning about this generation, one thing I'm learning about this culture is this. You all are the culture. You all are the generation where y'all don't know who y'all is. You don't know who you are. And so, we live in a culture where if I don't know who I am, I'm going to have to go find out. Go to the bookstores and go find stuff about, like, oh, what's my purpose? Why am I here and stuff? You don't get a whole boatload of stuff like that. Turn on Dr. Phil. He'll tell you exactly how it is you ought to be. Because in this culture of today, there is a dying wanting, a yearning in us in wanting to know who we are. And let us be honest, some of us, there are days when we think we know. And then we're so happy, and then bam, we put our head onto our pillow and sleep, and all of a sudden it's like, I don't think I know, and or I'm not comfortable with that. Some of us, we look into our lives, we look into the depths of our hearts, and we kind of count all of our accomplishments, all of our achievements. Man, I graduated from high school. I was all happy, man. 3.7 GPA. So close, you know what I'm saying? I was like, we're bragging like crazy. I went to school and got my B&T. Graduated high honors and thinking like, I got some stuff too. So we're trying to take everything around the world to try to define us. And we live in this culture that does that. So I think I just want to be really fair square with you all. I think Jesus is going to be fair square with us. He's going to talk to you today, just as he continues to talk to us. Christ is not silent on this. The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It's going to cut you. It's supposed to cut us. The gospel is offensive. Because some of us, we can't let go of that sin. Oh, this knife gonna cut that sin today. So Jesus approaches and he asks this one. You guys got the little highlighter pencil? Yo, write it down, man. Look, man, my Bible's your entire life. I've been writing stuff, highlighting stuff all day. Just highlight that word this. If anyone comes after me. If. And that's something I'm going to really punch this morning to you all. Are you one of the ifs? That is a condition. Are you one of the ifs? Am I one of the ifs? And Jesus goes, if you come after me. Am I one of the ifs that have said, I come after Jesus? I come here to church every Sunday and I raise my hands and I sing these songs and I listen to my pastor, but yet, are you still one of the ifs? We live in the South, folk. Here in the South, in the Bible Belt, there's a lot of people that say, oh yeah, we believe in Jesus, but I can share it right now. They ain't one of the ifs. So you're going to have to ask yourself, well, maybe Jesus is asking you, are you really one of this? If anyone comes after me, one, first highlight this bad boy right here, deny himself. Let me tell you why right now, this statement right here, deny himself or deny yourself, it's not going to work. Let me tell you why. See, all you gotta do is read a few verses on top. You'll find out. So Jesus gathers up his boys. You know what I'm saying? He got 12 brothers. You know, Jesus rolled deep. So he looks at all of them. He goes, my brothers, who does the world say that I am? What's out there? What's Facebook saying? What's CNN saying? What's Twitter saying? What's Instagram saying? What is it that the world is saying about me? What is it that you're hearing? What they're saying about me? Well, some of them say you JB, John Baptist. Some of you say you Moses. Some of you say prophets of the old, some type of hero. And Jesus goes, all right, I'm going to conjecture because that's how I do it. And then Jesus goes, mute the culture really quick. Just mute that culture really quick. You, my brothers, who do you say that I am? And I love this text right here. You always got that one brother who thinks he knows everything, and that's Peter, you know what I'm saying? Don't be hating on him. Don't hate on Peter. Peter, just like all of us, all right? Peter goes, I got this, boys. You know what I'm saying? Stands right up. Use the Christ. That's what the text says, right? Use the Christ. Now I'm sitting there, James and John probably like, give him a high five. You know what I'm saying? Good job, bro. Man, represent. Represent. And Jesus goes, okay. And then Jesus goes, fetch. Look at the text. We just got done in Sunday school. Y'all missed our Sunday school lecture with the great R.C. Sproul. Y'all missed out on this because it's talking about the Son of Man title right here. Jesus goes, fact check, reality check. Yo, get this right, my brothers. Get this right. The Son of Man, which of course he's referring to himself, must suffer. Mm. If I'm a disciple, I'm sitting there and I hear Son of Man is equating or equivalent to this word suffering next to each other. That ain't gonna work with me. Because Son of Man is divine from God to come down to earth to reign and pass judgment. It's supposed to be Son of Man and reign. That works better for me. Jesus! If you're the Son of Man, you're going to suffer. That don't make sense for me. Why? Because our people, we have been waiting for King David 2.0, all right? We have been waiting for the one better than Neo from the Matrix movies, okay? We've been waiting for the one that will come and reign. Jesus, we're tired of paying taxes. We're tired of being oppressed by these Roman people. They didn't even know people. We still people. We've been waiting for you to come and reign here. What are you talking about here? This makes no sense. The jaw drops from a disciple. And it's not a good drop. It's a, Jesus is going to flip the script on them. And now we get into the text. Right now I'm sitting, I'm going, I don't know if I want to be an if. I thought we're supposed to come here. You're supposed to be the next king. And we're going to sit at a table together. And then, you know, we're going to be running into places like, you know, King Arthur and Camelot or something like that. Right? That's what the Old Testament prophets talked about. That's what's been prophesied. We've been waiting for that king. And now you mean to tell me, Jesus, you're going to come and just suffer and die. And now you're talking about if. I am one of if. And then Jesus lays down the very, very, very first thing that they got to really come back and ask, God, you must, it's an imperative, you must deny yourself. Mm. Jesus, why are you talking about denial, man? It's not about denial, it's about gain. Isn't it? It's about gain. James and John, the brothers, sat there and Jesus go, Jesus, do something for us. What? When we're in your kingdom, we want to sit on the right and the left. You know what I'm saying? We want to, you know, we operate. We want to rule and reign with you on the right and the left. Mm. Can you give us that? And when you read the Matthew passage of that, James and John's mama spoke on their behalf. Mm. Mama's boys. Everybody wanted to be with Jesus, but they wanted something that Jesus had to remind them that was not going to happen in that way. You have denied yourself. So now we're going to have to ask the question, what does that mean? What is it to deny yourself? Because obviously, we don't want to talk about the denial, we want to talk about gain. So what is Jesus saying? And this denial is about your identity. Khalil, you gotta stop wanting to be in this world. Church, you gotta stop trying to want to be in this world. It's not about you. Living this life right now, you don't be in finance. Of course you can be finance, but being finance is not about you. You don't be a doctor? Cool. Being a doctor is not about you. This denial is an identity. It's a flip of a script. You're only in this world. You're not of this world. Please get that right. I spoke about this yesterday in the five solos. Our identity shifts. We are sojourners. We are pilgrims. We are aliens. Our citizenship is of another place. You must deny yourself. It is a imperative. It is the words from Jesus that will come and really pierce your heart. Why? Because it's going to question your desires. It questions what you want and who you are. Is there still a lot of you in here? Is there still a lot of us still in here? Do I gotta play Frozen and sing Let It Go? This Christianity thing, there's no middle lane. You're with Christ and you're not. You deny yourself and you follow Jesus or not. I really wish there was some kind of middle way. God don't operate that way. I'm going to give you all hope, okay? The hope is at the application. Here's hope. Don't worry. But you know, that's not how Jesus works at first, you know what I'm saying? A good teacher has to teach the hard truth, and he will blanket you with his grace. So first thing, if you're one of the ifs, you must deny yourself. Stop making it about you. It sucks to not be the hero or the heroine in life, huh? It sucks. We want to win. We want to make it about us. We need to be the main character sometimes. How about me? God, when am I going to get mine? We live in that culture. And we actually live in a culture where it goes, if you're not getting it, it ain't the world's fault. This is your fault. You didn't do hard enough. You ain't good enough. Jesus actually gives us the most comforting when he says you must deny yourself. Because Jesus goes, I will come in and be with you. Can't be. Two. You must take up the cross daily. Now, remember the disciples? They hearing this. Take up the cross daily. That word cross in Greek is staros, okay? And in Greek, staros is dad. So imagine disciples, you're hearing we gonna carry our what? Dad? And think about the disciples are going, okay, so this crucifixion thing, Jesus, if I'm not, please help inform me, but anybody that goes through the crucifixion and anyone that gets crucified, you gotta be kind of guilty of something really bad, right? You gotta be accused and guilty of a very bad punishment. It's capital punishment under the Roman law. So you mean to tell me, Jesus, that we're about to go carry crosses, we're gonna go die, so does that mean we're gonna go and do something really bad and get caught and get sentenced to death? Is that what you're trying to say, Jesus? That's what's going on here. So what is Jesus trying to say? Oh yeah, there's another word I need y'all to highlight. You see that word daily? Yeah, that's not hurt. Daily. Not one time. Not two or thrice. Daily. So you gotta carry or take up your death daily. Jesus, what are you saying? Jesus goes this. When Jesus went to the cross, remember the transmission? Remember that double imputation? The word imputation. You guys even know what the word imputation means? It's a synonym for imputation, like wearing a coat. You wear. Jesus takes on our sins as we take on his righteousness. Jesus takes on our sins, so therefore you have to die to sins. Are you dying to your sin daily? Young folks, church folk, we gotta look into our lives. What is it that we still continue to do? Yesterday we talked about this habitual sin. What is it that you continue to do as you harbor and you hoard a sin that you continue to practice in your life? Oh, you know who you is. All it takes is for you just look in a mirror. Don't even try to fool God, okay? You know, he is actually omniscient. And he sees everything. He knows everything. Continue to fool God. Trust me, it ain't gonna go good for you at all. Carry your sin and you die to it daily. Yesterday, I believe Pastor Jeff talked about how it's a life of war, folks. It ain't Dorothy and those three idiots skipping on Yellow Brick Road, okay? It's nothing like that. It's not eating cake and pies in life, in this Christian world. It's time to man up, rise up, woman up. It is hard. I'm sitting there thinking about Mike Tyson about to go fight Roy Jones Jr. I'm like, you're crazy. It's hard. You got a spark. And here's the thing. You spar with sin, and we hold on to the truth, knowing that as we spar with sin, we won. Because Christ won for us. So you carry your death. You die to your sins daily. You either are dying to sin, or you're still alive in it. And all it takes is for us, including Pastor Joe. All we gotta do is do a little self-reflection. And you know, it'll drive us to our knees. We're messed up, yo. So are we dying daily? I think about Paul in Romans chapter 7. Y'all read Romans chapter 7? Y'all gonna do any kind of Romans? I'm sure Brother Preston has done. There's that scene where Paul's starting to talk about how the thing that I hate doing, I keep doing. The things that I know I'm not supposed to be doing, I don't do. The things that I know I'm supposed to do, I'm not doing. The things that I hate doing, I keep on doing. Sounds kind of like us, right? It's kind of like that. And it's so practical. I know I'm supposed to do this. I don't want to do it. That's the grind of life. This walking with Jesus. And Jesus goes, carry that struggle, that sin. Fight. Put it to death. Daily. That causes forth a lot of humility, young folks. Church folks. It calls for a lot of humility. And humility does not operate well in this culture. And lastly, follow me. Remember the disciples? They're listening to the deny, take up the cross, and now follow me. If I'm Peter, I'm sitting, I'm like, well, duh, Jesus. What have we been doing these past 2.5 years? You know what I'm saying? Like, we are following you. I mean, you know, right? So why do you keep reiterating it? We already following you. That doesn't make sense. Why do we keep reiterating following me? We are following you. We get it. And did you know that Jesus again says this to Peter after Jesus has risen from the dead in John chapter 20, the end of it? Jesus goes, Peter, you love me? Yeah. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Right? You guys remember that scene? You guys remember that scene, right? He reinstates Peter 3 times. And then Peter gets frustrated. He asks Peter a 3rd time. Peter goes, Jesus, you know everything. You ain't know everything. And Peter goes, and Jesus goes, you know, Peter, there was a time when you used to dress yourself. There was a time when you used to go to malls and you used to buy all your clothes and you know exactly what you want to do and what you want to wear. Did you not know there's a time now where you will not have any say into your life? And then John writes, it's because that's how you're going to die. Mm. And then Jesus says, Peter, follow me. Because this follow me here entails death. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German pastor, German theologian, he says, when Christ calls man, he bids them come and die. You guys want to know another word for bid? I bid you. That word bid is command. We live in a Christian culture of today. Jesus, my best friend? Oh, yeah. Jesus, my savior? Mm-hmm, cool. Jesus, the one I ought to worship? Oh, yeah. But Jesus, I got to suffer with? Jesus that calls forth me to die, we're not going to die for no people. But as long as we got the Jesus that comforts us.
Preach now.
Is that your Christ? Who's your Jesus? Who are you? Who are we? Are you one of the F's? Because Jesus is going, look, when you follow me, here's what's going to happen. You are not Lord over your life anymore. There's no king in your life but Christ Jesus as king. Amen. Who continues to lord over your life? Is it sin? Is it this world? Is it you? Who sits at the throne of God at the end of the day? Is it you? Mm. Who continues to master your life? Who continues to direct your life? Last I checked, Jesus goes, if you follow me, Christ is Lord, and he lords over you. So this is a question of lordship. And this is what's missing in American Christianity today. Mm. Christ ain't Lord. And at the end of the day, so many of us proclaim to believe in Jesus, and yet we still lord our own lives. God, help us. Give us mercy. Mm. When he ought to condemn us. Who here continues to keep their eyes on the cross? As I end it with this, Jesus goes, you find life apart from me, you lose it all. But you lose your life for me, at the end of the day, you get it all. When Jesus was saying this to his disciples, He had his eyes. He had his perspective. He had his life walking to that tree that he would hang on and die at Calvary. His eyes were on the cross, and that the gospel was going to be finally fulfilled. In retrospect, church, do you have your eyes on the cross? In your life right now, what is your eyes fixated on? At the end of the day, what do you continue to see? What lane are you on? Because even Jesus was going to the cross and he saw that. He had his eyes on that. He was going to fulfill that mission. Those of us who are the ifs, we got the cross as our focus. And we have the gospel centered. And we got Jesus as King. Do you know who you are? I think that's what Jesus is telling you. You best be that. You better be that. And that is the prayer that I will be praying for all of us, even for me. Because Lord knows there are so many days we fall short of this, amen. So many times in our lives, we fall short of this. But praise God, here's the hope. We can confess that sin, repent, get back on track. Jesus, help me. Let me make sure my eyes are always fixed on you and that my lens are centered and adjusted, walking towards you. With Christ, there's always hope. And the gospel actually proclaims we are victorious. Christ does not just die, and that's it. He dies, rises again. He's at the right hand of Father. And Jesus goes, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. So thank you, Christ Redeemer Church. I love you all. May God bless you and your community here. Let me pray.